Yeah. Oh, I thought you were saying, do you want to share? That's what I heard you say.
Share.
Pray. Share.
God, we thank you for your love and all the many ways you bless us. We thank you for all of these that you made. Keep our eyes and ears on you. Amen.
Guess chair and share are the same thing, right? Boys, come here a minute. Give one of those to each that can read. I only have 40 of them, so maybe. But no, don't, like, just give them one, yeah. Just give families one. You can head toward 1 Kings chapter 18. We do have communion this morning. Oh, that's such a great view. Look at the little kids on the floor there. Especially the great one there, the Eliza Ann. Okay. What you have here, what a good worship. Let's just stop here for just a second before I continue. Just, we got testimony, word from the Lord. What, Becky? Thank you, fantastic. Anybody else? Jump in, please. I feel like there's something else. Just to talk here for a second. Who else has something? Come on. Be confident. There's only 20 people here. Anybody? Holy Spirit's talking. If you're sweating right now, say what's on your heart. Nobody. Olive? Anything? David?
I feel like I'm supposed to pray for Allie before she gets back.
Okay.
Go to church.
Yeah, it's good.
I'm supposed to look. I feel like I'm supposed to pray for Allie. And, you've got something good for you, Allie.
All right.
Something's been stirring in me for a long time, for a recent time. Just, there's going to be a release.
Good.
I don't know what it is, but it's going to be deep, and it's going to rock your foundation.
It's good. That, since you said you don't know how that looks, we'll just flow with that, and we'll make sure before we're done that. Allie, do you have a sense of how that's supposed to look? No? Okay, so we'll just roll with that here a little bit. Anybody else? Who else? Michael.
I guess after my sermon last week, me and Jenna wanted to buy it, so we sat down the next morning and had a discussion on what we want the year to look like, but also what we think the Lord wants for this year.
Mm-hmm.
And just, we found the word intentional, and being intentional not just in the everyday life, but in the spiritual things in our life, our relationships, so... that's what we've tried to target this week, is being intentional and even the simple things.
That's good. Huh? Who else? Oh, don't make me call on you. It's getting old. Mindy.
Number 24 is the government made manifest. His perfect covenant is going to be made manifest. The signs, wonders, and miracles.
That's good.
The testimony of Jesus.
Amazing, if I just ask. Lindsay.
Yeah.
Lindsay is the first one to raise her hand. Go ahead, Lindsay. Thank you.
I had a friend from Texas reach out yesterday. They attend church on Saturday, and they had a three-hour-long service. She said, Zoom ahead. She sent me the live, but she said, Zoom ahead to hour 2:12. And I did that this morning, and it was the exact scripture that he read this morning. And I think it ties into what Aunt Linda was talking about, putting our eyes on him, the one who's worthy, and how that falls on the people.
Mm-hmm.
And it establishes what needs to be established. We don't have to try to figure it out. And so I just wanted to confirm that scripture that was
written. Amen. Yeah, my heart was leaping. Thank you, being bold. Anybody else? Amazing, you just have to drill just a little bit. Mine a little bit. Fur?
2024 is a political election year. It only represents that there's a spiritual changing in the guard as well. I really feel that. And what Linda read, the first scripture that Linda read in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 16, but when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. I feel that the veil is being removed in a spiritual. The Lord is revealing many things.
Mm-hmm.
We can miss it if we don't have spiritual eyes and ears to hear and see.
I don't want to miss anyone else. I do want to come back. That's a segue into something. But anybody else feeling pressed to say something? Yeah.
I just want to testify to the goodness of God in the last year.
Amen.
Through the last year, you know, some things I've written, some pictures on my phone, and just the body of Christ being obedient as the hands and feet of Jesus shows the goodness of God.
Mm-hmm.
So I am thankful for that.
Amen. Amen. Anybody else? So, Chris, you made a statement there that segued into something I forgot about till just when you said that. I think feel like the Lord shared this with me in terms of what I think I'm going to lay out for today and even next Sunday and the next month as we think about potentially the beginning of the year. It's a reflective type of time where we look in the mirror and we see what's going on, we analyze, and we do those things. The kingdom of God does not move forward only, well, let me say this different way, knowledge versus revelation. I had the Lord say to me, I've been praying about some things, and I was frustrated with some things, and I didn't holler back, but I said, Lord, I know what to do. The problem's not that I don't know what to do, that I don't know how to pray, or that I don't know the scripture. I know that. My knowledge level at 51, having been a student of the Bible, is my knowledge is pretty good. I need revelation. I need to know what in the world I'm supposed to do with this knowledge. And that is entirely two different things, church. Revelation has to be an intentional searching. When you said intentional, that's the reason I got the pen, right? Because intentional knowledge is this passing kind of, yeah, we come to church and we hear, and we might even play the audio Bible, and we may listen to 1,000 podcasts a week, and that's all knowledge. I promise you, knowledge will not solve any of the problems in the world. It won't move the kingdom of God forward. Revelation is what moves the world forward, and it's precisely when you hear that revelation, which is a major theme of later on in today's sermon. We as the body have got to search the Spirit. We have got to search for those things we're supposed to do. Yes, there is this practical, I got to get up, take a shower, get dressed, eat breakfast, and I don't search the Spirit for that. okay? And I got to go to work tomorrow, and I got to put in the hours, and I've got to do this, and I got to do that. There is a practical thing God made that says we just have to do these things, and that's right, and it's proper. And the Bible says the slothful man shouldn't eat, so we need to do those things. But there is a level where we have to search in the Spirit for that revelatory peace that takes us to that next level, that gives us the insight in order to unlock the kingdom of God. What I think that this church, this body of Christ does well is exactly that, right? And I'm gonna talk about a little bit of how I'm feeling. I'm submitting this as part of you. I'm not submitting this as a leader. I'm not submitting this as anybody in charge. I'm just submitting, here's where I'm at. I'm going to share the rest of today about what the Lord is sharing with me and what I think that maybe we should do over the next few weeks, which in my mind, I feel it's a retethering. It's a searching. It's a I need to know what's going on in the Spirit so I can go forward. It is a little bit of reflectiveness of looking at last year, looking at where we're at, and asking the Lord, Lord, what do you need me to do out here? Because that's the whole point. I don't want to go through 2024 just willy-nilly. It's not where I'm at. And so I'm going to share today a little bit of what I feel like the Lord has given me. In your hand, just so you know, what you guys have is every sermon preached last year. Ray, will you throw up on here real quick? There's a practical setup to this real quick here that I'm going to hit. Next week, I haven't talked to the other guys, but I feel like there's a two-week part of setting some stuff up. As soon as he gets that up there, we'll look. Yeah, throw up the website real quick. So on here, just so you know, it's interesting what the Lord has us doing. Michael, I don't know if you know this, and I don't set this up, but Michael shared 11 times last year, Scott, 9, Nick and Gabe, 8, Daryl was 7, Chris, you were 6, Ben, you had 1, Will, where's Will? Will had 1, Will's all the way down there. You're on the wrong side, usually you're over here somewhere, I know. Will had 1, and Aaron and Bree had 1. Listen, that is 9 different people in the body of Christ across this pulpit, and that's not including call to worship, right? That's another 20. I think that's fantastic. I think that is a wonderful testament to what the Lord is doing here. Next week, as we think about, there's a group of young people I think are starting a fast tomorrow. I'm next Sunday, I would like to suggest that we launch into a four-week period of having the church open. I've been requested by many to let's have a set-aside time of the church being open for prayer. And so I have projected that maybe next Sunday I will get the other guys who preach, and I'm hoping that we just have a conversation. Michael, Chris, Gabe, myself, Dr. Scott, Daryl, I don't know if you'll be what your work schedule is. Daryl's got a little bit of a crazy work schedule, but if you can be here. The goal is that I scanned through these actual sermons, and I've got a lot of questions. This is the knowledge piece, right? This is 52 weeks of knowledge, but I'm interested in hearing what was Holy Spirit doing last year? Like, what's going on? And I want to ask some questions. I want to pick around at some things that are still in my spirit. I went through some of these sermons. I spent a long time yesterday just hitting the first 2 or 3 minutes of nearly every sermon, and it was like it just brought back things. And Holy Spirit just started downloading. You remember that? Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah, that. Wow, look at that. That. Look at what happened in that 8 months later when somebody, Michael's sermon in February, High Places. I don't know if you remember the High Places. And I had forgot about it until I went back and looked at it. I'm like, man, that I don't want to forget that, right? And there's sermons all down through here of things that Michael preached, Dr. Scott preached, I preached, Chris preached, and it's just interesting. I think it's very healthy, and what I'm challenging you is, I'm going to show you here, you can go to the website, Ray, click on the worship piece there. If you haven't been here before, there are 2 years of sermons here. Now, real quick, just a technical thing here, to the left, hold tight, Ray, to the left, you'll see you can highlight there, or you can come over here to the right and play. Don't hit that one, Ray. If you do the left one, just as a technical, that will open up a window where you can hit double speed. Listening to Chris is much better at double speed, just so you know. It's a lot better. So your wife agrees. Anyways, if you're in a hurry, here's what I'm going to challenge. I'd love for the body of Christ to have a discussion next week. I'm looking for revelation. I'm not looking for knowledge. I am wanting to search. I myself want to ask some questions of the five guys that preach sermons. Like, hey, did you know that tied with this, and then that tied with that, and then that was there? What did you mean by that? How did Holy Spirit play that out? And how does that feed into where we're going? Listen, Holy Spirit doesn't do things. He doesn't have prophetic things that come out, and he doesn't have things where preachers come up and say things or things that happen in the body of Christ for them just to die that week. These are things that go into the Spirit, and they begin to come together with other things, and then things begin to grow. And when we see that and we look at that properly and appropriately, it gives us revelation into the future. It gives us revelation about what we're supposed to be doing. It, to Linda's point, it changes our thinking, because now instead of being in this little, the human being lives in basically a minus 3 months and a couple weeks out in front, and that's pretty much all the human being's mental state kind of does if you study it from a psychiatry standpoint, is we don't live 6 months ago. Our brains don't allow us to go back 6 months. We live in around 3 months and a couple weeks ahead. The Holy Spirit wants to expand that on a time horizon of what has God been doing, where is He headed? So, just so you know, I just threw this out there so that you guys could have that. It's a challenge next week, and I don't have this cleared with any of my cohorts, but you're hearing it for those of you who are here. So if you can, you'll be up front next week, all six of you. And I will lead the conversation, Q&A, and it'll be a conversation that we have in here. It'll be normal. We'll have worship and we'll do the normal church service, but instead of one of us preaching, we're going to have a conversation about sermons, and then we're going to launch into what I would like to do as a four-week open house. I think there's been a couple people who said, hey, I'd like to have some meetings like on Sunday nights and do some discussion, or I'd like to have maybe a woman's meeting and maybe we pray on a certain morning. I don't care. Over 4 weeks, this church, this body, I'm challenging that we set that side, time aside, and we do some prayer, we do some fasting, we do some worship, we do some fellowship, we do some talking, and that we ask the Lord, give us some insight, give us some revelation about what 2024 you need this body of Christ to do, what walls you're wanting us to break down, what you're wanting us to get out of, and go forth from that standpoint. So come prepared next week. It'll be a little different, but I think it will be fine. And I'm happy to be overrode too. I may get outvoted after church, and you'll see one of us up here, but I don't think so. I think everybody will go. Are you good with it, Michael?
Yeah.
Chris? Okay. Daryl?
I'm working nights the night
before. I understand.
I'll be a little sleepy.
Let me ask a different question. You have a sense that it's okay to do that piece of it. Not that you, if you're not here, I understand, but you don't have a big red flag. Hey, Nick, you're being completely blasphemous, and we're going to hang you outside because you're not going to have a preacher on that Sunday morning. So, okay.
I don't think our dad will be good.
He's uninvited anyways. You know, your grandpa always said, if you don't show up to church, then you don't get to vote. So your dad's outvoted. We could actually vote for him to do all kinds of stuff right now. Who thinks Gabe should do some stuff? I do. Anybody got any ideas? I think he should, like, pick the rocks up in the field next week. He's on his way back from Illinois. Okay, I'm going to stop there. Comments on that? Anybody, any thoughts on the sermons? It'll be fun. I think it was very interesting. You guys in 1 Kings? It's interesting we have communion this morning. I'm glad we did. I wasn't sure, and then there was a little bit of back and forth, and I asked Ray, and of course we do. So we're going to end with communion. I feel very strongly about what we're going to share here this morning. And again, I am submitting this not as a word for the ecclesia, the body of Christ at large. That's not my job. I feel very strongly it's for me. As a result of it being for me, it is ultimately you're going to have to deal with it because you have to deal with me. Okay? So because I'm part of this body, then how I feel the Lord's leading and the same back and forth to all of us, right? If somebody walks in and says, I really feel the Lord saying this, and walks in these doors and they're part of our body, we have to engage that. We have to figure out what that is, right? And figuring that out is a little bit complicated because not everybody hears the Lord the same way. So I'm submitting this as the Bible says that we should, okay? And so this is very strong in me in terms of this story about Elijah. This is going to be all about Elijah. So let's jump in here. This is a fantastic story. By the way, I have no notes. So I this is the first time ever I walked out of the house. I have zero notes. We're just going to ad lib and flow through this. That sermon paper is the only thing I got. So we're going to flow through this. I think it will be quick. I don't know if it'll be quick, but it'll go pretty straightforward. Verse 18, verse 1. I have my wife's Bible, so this is NIV. I did read it in the King James, and I thought, wow, I will put half of the church to sleep if I read it in King James. After a long time, in the third year, the word of the Lord came to Elijah. I'm sorry, chapter 18, verse 1. 1 Kings, chapter 18, verse 1. After a long time, in the third year, the word of the Lord came to Elijah. Go and present yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the land. So Elijah went to present himself to Ahab. Now the famine was severe in Samaria. Come on down to verse 16 here. So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him. Now Ahab's the king. Obadiah is part of his household. Obadiah goes to meet Ahab and tells him, hey, Ahab, Elijah's here to meet you. When Ahab sees Elijah, verse 17, he says to him, is that you, troubler of Israel? Elijah says to Ahab, I have not made trouble for Israel, but you have and your father's family. You have abandoned the Lord's commands and have followed Baal. Now summon the people from all over Israel to meet me on Mount Carmel and bring the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah who eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent word throughout all Israel and assembled the prophets on Mount Carmel. Elijah went before the people and said, how long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him. And the people said nothing. King James says that Elijah said, he asked the people, how long are you going to halt between two opinions? And it says the people answered him not a word. Elijah here, prior to coming into this chapter, Ahab is king. He marries Jezebel. The Bible declares in chapter 16 that he is the worst king ever. He has done the most evil in the sight of any other king in Israel. He married Jezebel, and Jezebel has brought in and set up temples to Baal, and there are 450 prophets. And Elijah pronounces to Ahab, there's a famine coming. And then God puts him in hiding. And so we pick up the story where God is basically saying to Elijah, come out of hiding. I'm going to send you back to meet Ahab. It's been roughly 3 years of severe famine. So you know, during that time is where Elijah goes to the widow and asks her to give him a bread, give him some bread and give him some water. And she says, yeah, I'll give it to you. My son's going to die. It's the last thing I got, so we'll go ahead. And of course, there's a miracle that happens. The son dies, and then God and Elijah raises him dead. This is all happening in that three-year window of Elijah's own words saying there's going to be a famine. So we end up here where God taps Elijah on the shoulder and says, I want you to go back to see Ahab. Obadiah meets him coming down this brook. He meets him, and a funny thing, Elijah says to Obadiah, go tell Ahab that I'm here. And Obadiah says, no way, Jose, I'm not going to tell Ahab that. He's been looking for you for 3 years. The entire kingdom has been looking for you, and we can't find you. And sure enough, if I go tell him where you're at, the Spirit of the Lord will take you and vanish you, and then he'll cut my head off. Right? And Elijah says, Obadiah, surely as God lives, the Holy Spirit will not move me. I will be right here. Go tell Ahab I want to see him. And so this is where we come in. And it's funny because what does Ahab say to Elijah? oh, you're the troubler. And Elijah says, no, I'm not the troubler. You are the troubler. So now we're getting ready up on Mount Carmel. And we come to my first point that I feel very strongly about 2024 for me, and I think for local body of Christ, and take it for whatever you want. You can drop it in the trash if you want. Elijah has all the folks gather. Ahab brings them up to Mount Carmel, and his first words to them are, how long are you going to halt between two opinions? I'm confident that that is not only my calling to constantly ask that question, but it's potentially not only do we have to answer it corporately, but then we actually have to be the ones that ask that question. There is a people side of this, and there's an Elijah side of this for 2024. The people side of it is, stop halting between two opinions. If you are, quit this morning, okay? If you aren't halting, then get in the business of asking that question. Because it's only when people are challenged that they'll stop. It took Elijah to stand there and go, how long are you going to halt between two opinions? And the people didn't answer him a word. It doesn't take long to understand that's generally the state of a lot of things going on, is it not? This word in the Hebrew is not, it's not a, that the people, this is not unbelievers not worshiping God. He's not talking to unbelievers. He's talking to the Israelites. He's got the Israelite people there. So this word in the Hebrew is not about the unbeliever that we go to them and say, how long are you not going to worship God? That is not what this message is. The message is the body of Christ. How long are you going to serve multiple gods? You can't serve God and money, for instance. Jesus said that. Okay? It's challenging to everybody. We, at the end of the day, we had to clean our own house up. Okay? We have to become the Elijahs. We have to not be the people. So the first statement that I feel very strongly about is this one right here. I got to find out where it went. Does anybody know where the verse is at? What? 21. Then Elijah said to them, verse 20. So Ahab sent word throughout all Israel. Yeah, 21. Elijah went before the people and said, how long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. If Baal is God, follow him. But the people said nothing. Okay, point number one. Let's continue. Then Elijah said to them, I am the only one of the Lord's prophets left, but Baal has 450 prophets. Let's take just a second, get in Elijah's mindset. Elijah is, by numerous accounts, I think one of the greatest prophets of the Old Testament. I think there's probably only competition with Samuel in terms of what I personally think Elijah and Samuel are. I'm not sure, but they're great. Elijah's awesome, right? But it's interesting, we're going to learn some things about Elijah. Elijah here is definitely, he's a man that said there's going to be a famine and there's a famine. Then he comes to this widow, and now he's basically here, and he is saying, I am what? What's he saying? I am alone. Is that what you said? Only. I am only. I am alone. He's been alone for 3 years. He has been alone. He has physically been alone, and but he has transcended his own thought, and he has projected that spiritually up to heaven and said, not only am I alone, but God actually has me alone. I'm the only one. We will find later that that's just not true. But it's affecting him. Okay? It's affecting Elijah. He thinks, he believes he's the only one. Let's carry on. Then Elijah said to them, I am the only one of the Lord's prophets left, and Baal has 450. Go ahead and get two bowls for us. Let them choose one for themselves, and let them cut it into pieces and put the wood on it, but don't set fire on it. I'll prepare the other one, and we won't set fire on ours either. Then 24, then you call in the name of your God, and I will call on our Lord, and the God who answers by fire He is God. This is point number two. Point number one is, again, this is a little messy. I don't have any notes. I'm just sharing what's in my heart, telling a story here. The story shares its own points, and everybody will pull out of it what they want to pull out of it for 2024. First point is, God is asking the body of Christ, and he's putting some pressure, and he's probably going to send prophetic voices. How long are you going to halt between two opinions? Number one. Number two, Elijah sets this up, and he says, the God that answers by fire, serve that one. Okay? And that's what he says here. So then he goes on, gets kind of funny, right? They go on at 26. So they took the bowl given to them, and then these are the prophets of Baal, right? They called on the name of Baal from morning till noon. O Baal, answer us, they shouted. But there was no response, no one answered, and they danced around the altar they had made. We're going to skip down, even though we could laugh, because Elijah makes fun of them, right? He starts taunting them. He's basically saying, hey, where's your God at? Did he go on a journey? Is he sleeping? Is he taking a nap? Like, where is he? The whole community is here. Like, listen, this is Hollywood blockbuster cinema movie event. The entire nation is up on this mountain, and Elijah has challenged Baal and his prophets to this showdown. And of course, he's making fun of them, and he's poking at them. Then it comes to Elijah, verse 30. Then Elijah said to all the people, come here to me. They came to him. I know where this is going, sorry. Then Elijah said to all the people, come here to me. They came to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord, which was in ruins. Elijah took 12 stones, one for each of the tribes descending from Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, your name shall be Israel. With the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he dug a trench around it large enough to hold 2 suahs of seed. I don't know what that is. He arranged the wood, cut the bowl into pieces, and laid it on the wood. Then he said to them, fill the 4 jars with water, pour it on the offering. He said, do it again. Then he said, do it a third time. And in verse 35, the water was so much that it ran down around the altar and even filled the trench. Verse 36, at the time of sacrifice, Elijah stepped forward and prayed, O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac and Israel, let it be known today that you are the God of Israel, and I am your servant and have done all these things at your command. Answer me, O Lord, answer me, so these people will know that you, Lord God, and that you are turning their hearts back. Then the fire of the Lord fell and burned up the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, and the soil, and also licked up the water in the trench. When all the people saw this, they fell prostrate and cried, the Lord, he is God, the Lord, he is God. What a show. What a magnificent, powerful demonstration of God's power. You will be hard-pressed to go through this book from Genesis to Revelation and find very many moments that are more powerfully demonstrated of God just showing up and basically saying, I'm God and you all are not. Very few times does this kind of moment happen in Scripture. And here Elijah is, and here is what's going on, right? And the next thing he does, he goes and rounds up these 450 prophets of Baal, takes them down the mountain, and cuts them off. We are in the middle of a what? A drought. We're in the middle of a famine. There's multiple levels of things going on here. We're on top of Mount Carmel in the middle of a drought, and Elijah seems to be wasting water on the sacrifice. We don't have water to waste. So he's wasting water on the sacrifice. Not only does the power of God come in that moment, there's about to be another major, major Hollywood scene. He kills the 450 prophets. Number two crazy thing. Number three, he goes back up on the mountain, prays, kneels down, and says to his servant, go look toward the sea and come tell me what you see. Servant comes back, I don't see anything. Go again. Comes back, I don't see anything. He does this 6 times, doesn't see anything. Go again. Number 7. What's he come back and see? He sees a rain cloud. Okay? And he tells the servant, I love this. He says to his servant, go tell Ahab he better get in his little cart and horse and get off of this mountain before the rain comes. All right? That's exactly what happens. The Bible declares that it's pouring rain on Ahab when he's riding back to Jezreel. Fourth miracle. Elijah has the Spirit of the Lord come on him. I still don't know what necessarily this is, but he has the Spirit of the Lord come on him. He tucks in his tunic, and what's he do? He outruns the horse and buggy, right? All the way to Jezreel, and he gets there. If you're Elijah, how are you feeling?
Probably tired.
Wrong answer, but thank you. If you're Elijah and you've come out of 3 years of hiding, and this has just happened, this is the showcase of showcases, isn't it? What? How are you feeling? It's feeling awesome. Like, man, I wish God would do this every other day. Right? Like, I mean, just come down and show yourself. Come down and prove who the righteous are and who the unrighteous are. Come down and just do it. I'd feel pretty good about it. I know, I'm sure how Elijah felt. Chapter 19, verse 1. So they just get back to Jezreel. Now Ahab tells Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sends a messenger to Elijah and says, may the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by tomorrow I don't make your life like one of them. Crazy lady. Verse 3 is amazing. Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. How is this possible? How is it possible that we are not hours away from one of the most fabulous demonstrations of God's power that came through this guy? No one else did this. There was no one else there. These hidden prophets that God reveals later, they weren't there on Mount Carmel. How many of the people answered him a word? Zero. He was by himself. He did a marvelous thing, and verse 3 says he is afraid and running for his life. Let's continue. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there, while he himself went a day's journey into the deserts. He came to a juniper tree, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. He said, Lord, I have had enough. Just take my life. It's pretty much over. Wow. Sometimes I feel like that. Sometimes we all feel like that. Sometimes we all find ourselves under a juniper tree and say, this is just a waste. Just end it. Just finish me off, Lord. Done. Washed up. And you know the Lord's wanting to be like, 24 hours ago, you remember Mount Carmel? That's not even, like, it's just not on the radar. This is the frailty of the human brain. Okay? This is the frailty of needing to search and have something deeper than this here and now. And even a man like Elijah is subject to these little ups and downs. It's going to get better, though. Trust me. So he's under the juniper tree, and an angel comes and gives him some food. I heard a preacher say, this is the first time angel food cake showed up. Ha, 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 ha. What was that? Ha, ha, ha. It does. It says the angel made him cake. So it's the first sign of angel food cake right here. First Kings. That was not original with me. I heard that from another preacher, just to be clear. But I am repeating it. Yes. So, I'm going to paraphrase and jump forward here. We'll jump forward to verse 9. But So he goes into Beersheba. He's running for his life. He sits under this juniper tree. He says to God, just end it. Just be done. I'm over it, right? And then he drops his servant off, and somebody says, well, why did he drop his servant off? Because he probably thought his whole career was done. He's like, I don't need anybody else. I'm done. Like, my prophetic days are done. My ministry's over. She's going to kill me, and blah, blah, blah. And so the Bible specifically says he goes another 40 days and 40 nights to Mount Horeb, which is Mount Sinai. So he ends up at Mount Sinai, the same place that Moses encountered the burning bush and the same place that Moses got the Ten Commandments. Elijah's now there. And let's look here at verse 9. When he gets to Mount, well, at the end of verse 8, you'll see it. He gets to Mount, he reaches Mount Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went into a cave and spent the night. And the word of the Lord came to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? This is my third point, which we'll get to in just a second. There's a connector of 40 days and 40 nights, right? There are a few other instances of 40 days and 40 nights. Anybody remember? What else in the Bible is 40 days and 40 nights? Louder. Jesus in the wilderness. One other, I think. The flood, and then this one. I don't know, is there a fourth one? Anybody? I don't think so. There may be a fourth one, but these are three specific 40 days and 40 nights travel. Elijah ends up in a cave, verse 9. There he went into a cave and spent the night, and the word of the Lord came to him. What are you doing here, Elijah? He replied, I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me. The Lord said, go out and stand at the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came what the King James says is a still small voice. And it says in verse 13, when Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. And then a voice said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? I'm going to pause here for a second. Once you set your Bibles aside, we're going to funnel back. We're going to get communion. We're going to come back to our seats. And then I'm going to verbally expound on this for a second. There's a thing here that I am confident the Lord wants us to take communion over. And I, just for the clunkiness of it, you guys get communion, come back to your seats, don't partake of it, and I will expound on that here for a second. Ben, will you just play the piano for a second while everybody's getting communion? Go ahead, it's right there at the back. Yeah, bring me some. So I'll do my best to get through this. This is pretty heavy for me. Elijah is Elijah has to carry out what God wants him to do. He's the prophet of God. He's the man of God. He's got a responsibility to do it, and yet it's hard. And we find Elijah here in a cave. And he's hiding in this cave. And he's really 40 days and 40 nights, plus a couple under the juniper tree. He's 45 days from this absolute monumental moment. But it doesn't seem to have done much for him. He's hiding. He's running. He's scared. Maybe he's mad at God. I don't know. And the story's a little confusing, but when you read it, I think as you break it apart and read some commentary, I think here's what the cave looked like. I think in verse 19, when the thing opens up, the word of the Lord says, "What are you doing here?" which is verse 9, and then God's, and then the Bible records that the voice has said, "What are you doing here?" again in verse 13. I think Elijah is in this cave, and the Spirit of the Lord says, "Elijah, what are you doing here?" And all of a sudden, the voice says, "I'm going to pass by." And all of a sudden, he's in this cave, and the wind is tearing the rocks apart outside. But God's not in that. And then an earthquake shakes that cave, and God's not in that. And then amazingly, there's a fire. Did we just hear about a fire? Yeah. And God's not in the fire. And then it says there's a still small voice. And the next verse says, when Elijah heard it. And here's what I believe. I don't believe it was saying when he heard the wind, when he heard the earthquake, when he heard the fire. I don't think that's what he heard. When all of that passed and all of it calmed down and he heard the still small voice, he covered his face. What's the Lord saying? I think here's what the Lord is saying. I'm not in the fires and the earthquakes, folks. If we're going to move forward, there's only one way to do it. It's in the still small voice. 40 days and 40 nights, Jesus was in the wilderness, being tempted by the earthquakes and the fires. And what did he whoop the devil with? He said, "I don't need any of this stuff. All I need is what? I just need God's word. I live by His word and His word alone." Thank God for the fires. Thank God for the Mount Carmels. But they're signs of His judgment. They're signs of His division. What we really need as the body of Christ is a group of people who aren't hoping for some major event out here. God needs a people that can just go and live with the King Ahabs and the King Jezebels because they just hear His voice. That's simple and plain and yet so profound for me. And when I kept hearing the word fire for the last 2 weeks, I thought, "Oh God, you're going to tell there's going to be fire in 2024. No, that for me it wasn't. It was actually this story says, "Nick, stop searching for the fire moment. Stop looking for the Mount Carmels. They won't sustain you." Dear Lord, the prophet Elijah, if Mount Carmel was going to actually sustain you as a Christian, why is he running for his life 24 hours later? Because that doesn't sustain us. The still small voice down on the inside says, "I love you. I got you. Follow me. Get my word in your eyes. Get it in your heart. It will sustain you. That is what I felt the Lord said we're taking communion over this morning. Here's what I felt. What did the still small voice say, Chris? What did it say to Elijah? What are you doing here? Lindsay, what are you doing here? Matt, what are you doing here? David, what are you doing here? All of you, what are we doing? The Holy Spirit's saying the same thing today as He was back then. What are you doing? Are you hoping for Mount Carmel? No, we're not. What are you doing? Take the bread. And the juice. I'm going to finish this with a good note. That is a good note. We just sat with communion. We are going to be a body of Christ that the still small voice is the top of the chart, way up here. Okay? I may want a whole bunch of things in the political realm to happen. I may want a bunch of stuff for people to get off their sick bed. I may want for my finances to change. I may want for someone to marry someone and do this and do that. I may want for kids. I may want for a new job. I may want for a new car. But at the end of the day, there's only one thing that matters. There's only one thing that will sustain us. There's only one thing that will move the kingdom of God forward. The still, small voice that says to you, what are you doing? Elijah didn't answer the question. God answered it for him. Because the rest of that chapter, God just basically got him out and said, hey, just gave him new orders. Go back to work. And guess what happened? He found someone 5 verses later. Who did he find? Does anybody know? I just heard it. He found Elisha. I thought he was the only one.
No, there's this farmer.
Elijah thought he was the only one, and 4 verses later, out of that moment of hearing the still small voice, God gave him Elisha, who served him and did double the miracles that Elijah did. And oh, by the way, Elijah, I have 7,000 more. Elisha's just one. Right? Loneliness is definitely the enemy's trap. Okay? So as we go through this new year, community, what the Lord wants to do with us. I'm excited about it. Next week will be fun, and we'll see what the Lord has. But remember these things. Let's not halt between two things. Let's not serve two masters. Secondly, there is a God of fire, but we're not searching for that. If He shows up, hallelujah. Praise God. Okay? Just to be clear, Ahab didn't go away. Tradition has it that Ahab and Elijah died about the same time. That Mount Carmel thing did not change the political spectrum of Israel. Just to be clear, go read it. Ahab went probably another 20 years with Jezebel, the crazy lady. And Elijah just stayed away. All of that didn't necessarily change it. It did change Elijah. I'm confident it changed Elijah. I'm confident Elijah walked from that moment forward going, okay, I got this. All I need is in here. Still a small voice. I don't need to run and be afraid anymore. Amen?
Amen.
See you guys next week. Allie, come up. Come up here.